right. Happy Schur's Day, everybody. I mean, you know I was going to say that. Huh. It is Blair and Barker for Schur's Day, June 25th. Why is it Schur's Day, you're asking?
Why, Jeff?
Because Max Scherzer is scheduled to pitch tonight against the Cleveland Guardians. The Guardians and Jays. After the Jays' 10-6 win, walk in the park, more or less, last night. 10-6 win over the Guardians. Another, I was going to say, we can say it, typical Eric Lauer start. I'm going to start calling him The Answer. That's the nickname I'm giving.
That's fair. Where would they be without him?
Big night for George Springer, 3-for-5, a grand slam. Huh. The bullpen, Fluharty, Green, Schultz, Rodriguez all allowed at least one run in relief. There was lots of talk after the game on Blue Jays Talk about...
this guy. Well, you wouldn't.
I asked the question about John Schneider's bullpen use, and... As is quite often the case, you know, I kind of wondered about Mason Fluharty, but you actually got me thinking, you know, maybe the real question was why only 7 pitches for Braden Fisher? Understanding that you've got Max Scherzer starting. Who the hell knows what you're going to get from Max Scherzer? You may get 5, you may get a third of an inning. I mean, you just don't know. You know, my point was I think watching Chad Green give it up again, I wouldn't say it scared John Schneider, but I think at that point, John Schneider realized maybe I better not get too, you know, get too fancy here. Maybe I've got to go with Yariel. Not going to go with Hoffman. It's not a save situation, but I've got to start managing this game a little differently. That's what I think. And I want you, like, you made the point about the left-handed hitters, and you think that the reason that John did what he did was to keep Cleveland's left-handed hitters on the bench, which is a little bit like what we saw in that playoff series in Minnesota. And both of us had the same argument. Cleveland's left-handed hitters, you know, it's not like you should lose sleep facing Cleveland's left-handed hitters. So I have a lot of questions about that. Yeah. Just about what that... You know what, Kevin? My question isn't so much... I'm sorry I'm going on here.
Yeah, you're on a roll here.
Well, my question isn't so much why John did what he did. It's what it says about the bullpen and his feelings about it.
Yeah, I think you're the only one that don't think this is one of the bigger series of the season so far. I think John told you last night by the way he was using his pitchers, by who's pitching today... by just sort of being on the road, the issues they have scoring runs. I mean, they scored 10 runs. You know, they're like 27th in baseball at scoring runs on the road. When you got sort of a team on the ropes, sometimes you tend to overthink it. I think that's sort of where it's at with me, right? I mean, just look at where and when he took them out, right? Fisher came in with a 3-run lead. He brought Fluharty in with a 5-run lead, right? When it became 5 runs, why wouldn't you run Fisher back out? Who cares who he's facing? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. The secondary stuff to lefties, that's why he's bringing them in the game, right? I mean, sort of on the road, no lead is safe because of the way or whatever they think they're not doing right. And the back end of the bullpen, some of the times, other than Yariel right now, has some, you know, decisions that have to be made on when you're going to use them, how much you're going to use them. So I'm not making excuses for him because I was the first one to raise my hand and say, you know, really, what the heck you doing? Why are you overthinking this thing? You know, if a guy can't get, you know, multiple outs with a 5 or more run lead, yep, why is he in the bullpen? That's where I'm at with that, especially after coming off like a Fisher. He threw 4 pitches the day before the day off. He threw 7 pitches yesterday. Why don't you run him back out there?
I mean, unless
if you can get out 5-6-7, why can't he get out 8-9-1? I don't care if you bring the lefties in.
Do you think? No,
you're up 5.
I'm with you. But do you think at all that John was looking ahead to today?
Absolutely.
And thinking, I've got Max Scherzer. I am expecting that I may need Braden Fisher in a game where I may not have that type of a lead. I'm trying to work through it. And I'm, you know, I'm giving John the benefit of the doubt. But again, I also realize that, you know, we're talking about a manager who has got a guy in Chad Green who just gives it up. I mean,
Well, if he'd have brought Fisher back out, you could have maneuvered it around to where you wouldn't have had to use
Chad.
My
point is...
That's more my point.
Yeah, but my point is his lefties are being overused. His closer, flip a coin. He is the closer, obviously, but flip a coin on what you're going to get out of him. Well, I think this is a particularly rocky patch for John Schneider when it comes to the bullpen. Like, there's a lot of factors right now kind of throwing that bullpen into even more of a question mark. Mm-hmm. Now, it gets cleared when Jimmy Garcia comes back, hopefully on Monday. And the Jays did, by the way, make a trade today. They acquired a right-handed pitcher from the Marlins, Robinson Pena. And I don't know. I mean, I guess he'll go to AAA. I mean, probably a depth arm.
He's a guy.
Yeah, he's a guy.
That's it.
But I think a lot of forces are coming together right now, creating issues for John in the bullpen.
Yeah, I think you're way overthinking it. I think sometimes that's the issue. You know, I'm not so much in the camp of the two lefties are being abused. I think they've been doing a real good job. Now, the number of games that they've thrown, yeah, probably if they continue to go down this path, it's going to end up being a really big number. I do think they've done a good job of giving some separation there, like giving them 3 or 4 days off when they need 3 or 4 days off. Like, it's like the Hoffman thing who, you know, up until his last outing had been in a game 3 times since June 10th. Like, that's enough time, right? You're getting some time to figure out things, hopefully get your arm speed back to where it needs to be, to where you can catch it out front, have a better finish, have your pitches doing what you want them to do. So I'm sort of kind of a little maybe on the fence with what you're saying about, you know, the two lefties. I just think last night he's sitting over there, he overthought it. That's all. I mean, I'm not saying they won the baseball game. That's all that matters this time of the year is about winning. They seem to think that these next 9 games after last night are a big deal. Boy.
Well, the Yankees games
are
a big
deal.
Yankees
yeah,
games
the
are
only,
huge.
You're the only one that says that.
Oh, okay.
You're the only one. Well, John's telling you by the way he used the pen last night and who's pitching for the Jays today, how important the game was yesterday.
Well, okay. Well,
that's why I used it. That's why I was trying to win. Every series win matters, no matter when you get them.
Of course they do.
And you need them.
Of course they do. But
especially against teams who are, you know, knocking on the door behind you to try and take your spot, like Cleveland is. So these are big spots. Like, again, I said this yesterday, they need guys that they're counting on to do things. And when you ain't getting certain guys doing things, other guys need to step up. And, you know, we're sort of beating a dead horse here. We'll be interested to see what they do with Chad Green. I mean, Chad Green, if you look at it, it's got a 5.19 ERA in June. Righties are hitting .316. He's given up 10 home runs and 33 innings pitched. They're slugging .500 or better on fastball and slider. He ain't doing things.
He's got
to fix that.
And he's got like $5 million left in his contract.
Do you think they care? I wouldn't care. It's about winning.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And if I'm this front office and there's some unknowns there, I'm sure they know their future a little bit better than we know.
But why
would they care? You can bring what's better.
I'm saying the exact opposite, Kevin, if you let me finish. I'm saying the exact opposite.
What's the opposite?
The opposite, it's $5 million. You can swallow that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
What you're going to do with Chad, you're going to call somebody.
Try and trade him.
You're
going to
give me a package of balls. New, preferably unused balls.
Be nice.
Preferably unused balls for Chad Green.
He's been a solid big leaguer. Just for whatever reason this year, things just ain't going where he wants them to go. And sometimes in your career, it happens.
Oh, yeah. The career comes to an end at some point.
Yeah, it's that. I mean, I'm not saying because his velocity's been really good. It's the uptick a little bit in the velocity the last couple of days. I'm not making excuses for him.
He's given up 10 home runs this year.
Yeah, and 33 innings pitched. I'm not saying he's been good. I'm saying, I don't think it'll be as hard to trade him as we might think it would be. And I would think just to sort of make it easier for John and Petey not to have to figure out ways to use him because he is a veteran guy and you know how they are with veterans.
That contract is easy to swallow.
Eat half of it. You take the other half and
they can find the change for that.
I think I've been traded for a fungo once.
You may have been. They can find the change for that in Mark Shapiro's cushions in the office.
I think I got traded for an Uber.
Whatever it is, $5 million or whatever. You can probably find that in the cushions at the Rogers.
What cushion is that at? I'll go look.
Well,
kidding me? I mean, there is money growing on trees.
You also made a oddly for you, you made several good points. I'm just kidding. Blue Jays talk last night. The walks before a couple of the you talked about.
Yeah, the Kirky. I didn't really. I mean, that Kirky thing, that's a lot of non-competitive pitches. I would be able to take those.
There was
pitches.
A walk you talked about.
Yeah,
though.
It was the Davis Schneider.
That's right.
9-pitch walk after starting at 1-2.
Right.
That looks like a dude for me that wants to stay in the big leagues. That's how big league at bats are supposed to look. You know, we always say that. Don't be afraid to pass the baton. Yep. Vladdy says that, right? I'm not afraid this year to pass the baton. That's one of those bats in the seventh inning, right? And then Class A had the 1-2 RBI single. If I told you this, that Class A this year is quietly, and I do circle quietly, hitting 350 mm-hmm. with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. 7-for-20. It's those, whenever everybody gets back, and there's sort of blanks to be filled in, it's not going to be the easiest of decisions.
Yes.
Just because that dude, Class A, is a switch hitter, can run, can score from first. I mean, they got a few of those guys, but not a ton.
Yeah. No, I...
He's not going to be the easiest guy just to go, well, it's him.
Absolutely.
That's what
not.
I'm saying, right?
No,
he's done enough things on
sure
both sides of the ball.
Listen,
that warrants him, and he can play center, which is a bigger deal.
They've credit to people... Obviously, Ernie Clement, but Nathan Lucas, Miles Straw. I'm going to call them the fill-in outfielders. Jonathan Classe, they've all done enough to warrant staying in the majors.
Yeah, it'd just be interesting to see how you get everybody on the field all at the same time, right?
Well, I mean, we now know that Dalton's running program is stopped because of the recurring hamstring injury, so yeah. I would imagine that pushes Dalton's ETA back. I mean, at this point, you might as well wait till after the All-Star break
to bring
him back. But, I'm with you. Jonathan Class A looks like, you can tell that John has confidence in him. You can tell that John has confidence in Jonathan Class A.
Yeah, I think
it's him growing on.
I think
he's
when he went down, I think the route running's been cleaned up in the outfield. But Budzinski, the first base coach / outfield coach,
he's done a really nice job.
But it's on the player to go down and clean that stuff up, be it right. You know, they're going to put you in the right spot. When the ball sort of hit out of position, your routes need to be better. Leaving his feet's even better, right? Even when he dives for baseballs. I know he misplayed a ball the other day that he should have caught up against the fence. But other than that, he hits the cutoff guy. He can run. He can score from first. He can, you know, take a strike-to-ball slider. He can drive in a run with hitting a ball up the middle. I mean, that's where run producer – I'm not saying by any means
I know what you're saying.
But I'm saying he got a chance. Like, that's all you want, right? Well, you know, one of your guys who is that sort of fringe guy who's there just to help your team and not hurt your team, you're okay when that dude walks to the plate. At least I'm okay with
it.
He's part of that end of the lineup kind of people, which is nice.
What I also like about it, and I'm going to use the word fringe, but that's the wrong word to use. Yeah, but
that's a slap in the face.
Well, but what I'm going to say is the other thing I really like about him is – I like when you have a bench player that you don't have to pinch run for. You know, if you're going to pinch hit late in the game and he gets on base, you don't have to, you know, you're not burning an extra player. And I think that has value. You know, especially, and someone pointed this out to me the other day. We were talking about the impact of, you know, the new extra innings rules, right? The ghost. They're talking about how all of a sudden, you know, that... Those bench players become a little more valuable.
That can run.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, they become more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's part of the thought process. The idea that your bench player is a guy who's going to come up and swat home run, that's great. But you've also got to think about having that guy on the bases late in the game.
Yeah, I know. I can remember the first time a Khaki told me about Class A saying they should call him up the way he runs the bases, his route running in the outfield. I chuckled. I laughed.
Yeah.
Now that I've seen him up close and personal for, you know, a big enough sample size, that now I'm okay for him being a big leaguer. Like, you're okay with him getting some at-bats when some other guys are going through some things, and you're okay when the ball's hit to him in the outfield. He runs good routes. He can catch the ball in the gap, which is a big deal. I think he's got a decent enough arm. Arm strength is still a work in progress.
Yeah.
But he can hit a cutoff guy. It's accurate enough to do that, which is a giant deal.
Yeah.
Run the shortstop or the second baseman out there. Both of those have good enough arms that you can make up for whatever that is. Jimenez. I think him and Green were the two sort of last night. I know he got a base hit up the middle on a fastball, which
he made
a
great defensive play early in the game.
It brought up for Lauer. It brought up the ninth hole hitter coming up the next inning instead of Quan.
Yes.
Yeah, which is never what you want because Quan's always a some stir that you just don't like to say and can't say on the radio. This is the first thing with Jimenez last night that I actually, you sort of pay attention because first of all he's a really good dude. Second of all, I would think the Jays' future with him involves playing time. Yeah. He's playing somewhere.
That contract. So I know we don't like talking about contracts.
Well, I know.
It goes up to $23 million.
You think everybody should get paid. Everybody's the same. Right? Everybody a half a billion dollar check.
No, but once – okay, here's the thing. Give me credit for this. Once we get into the $23 million range, which I think is what he is in 2 years down the road.
Yeah, 2 years.
Then the equation changes. For me, then the equation changes. What I'm saying is, I'm not going to quibble over $14 million or $16 million.
$15 million for an everyday .80 hitter is a lot of money. So you can't blame true Jays fans who pay attention and want to win baseball games and maybe have better options. And probably the only reason they're playing this guy every day was ultimately because he could play defense better than most.
All right, and
they're paying him lots of money for multiple years upcoming.
Well, and also
that's two reasons.
Also,
and he might have to play short, which is a
Also, you've also got the fact that this, to me, it gets back to Dalton Varsho's injury and the moves that has created and Springer DHing and Barger in right field and Ernie at third base. Look, we've talked about this. Would you at all be upset if Barger goes to third, Clement goes to second, and when Varsho's back, they have, Varsho and left, Straw and right, whatever, Springer. All I'm saying is...
It's called winning.
You'd have a better offensive lineup than you would with Jimenez.
Absolutely. Now, right. If Vladdy was doing special things and Tony was in the lineup
then
doing special
carry him.
Things...
Hit him ninth or hit him eighth.
Then you can play him, let him play that defense.
Absolutely.
He always plays. Whatever he hits is gravy. I'm with you. So, yeah, look, I think last night was the first time you actually hone in on what he's trying to do with his front foot of his lower half. He's cutting himself off big time, right? Now, he's made adjustments because it was just too much, kicking it to your ear and, trying to wrap your barrels just a lot to catch balls out in front the way they throw in sort of high-octane velocity. Last night it looked to me like right when you step towards – it's like Altuve, not to that extreme, but if you can sort of picture what Altuve does, right, he steps towards and it looks like a scissor. Right, his lower half looks like scissors. What's that do to your hands? And where does your barrel go? Your barrel doesn't stay in the zone very long. What does it look like he does a lot of the times? He misses the ball by a lot. Means his barrel doesn't have a chance of making solid contact because it's not in the zone long enough. It's like that game of inches. When my foot's a little straighter towards the target, everything's in line that much better. Barrel stays in zone longer, like the base hit he got up the middle. That was 95. That's pretty good heat, right? I think it was two strikes. Yeah, and he stayed through it. It was a nice little easy finish, not trying to overswing. His direction with his lower half was a tick better. For me personally, I think he can hit a little. I'm not saying he can hit a ton, but I think if they clean up some things with his lower half, get better direction, and have him hunting one pitch, you're hitting in the 7 or 8 or 9 hole. It's like the Ernie Clement thing. Get great at what you do best.
Yeah.
Right, I rake lefties, then I should be slugging 722 off them. And now whatever I do against righties is going to put me in the lineup more often. This guy ain't no different.
Yeah, what
we're starting hunting a heater in the middle of the plate, he does that with better direction.
Just what
that should give him confidence in what he did last night. That's all I'm saying.
What we're talking about is a comment that Dan and Joe made during the telecast last night, which I really liked. And when the Guardians were here, I had a chance to listen in to Stephen Vogt pregame, and I can see why people like Stephen Vogt so much as a manager. But one of the points, it was either Joe or Dan, I think they were both there, asked him was about Ernie Clement. Was he surprised that Ernie had turned into the player he had? Now, Ernie Clement was a teammate briefly with Vogt when Vogt was in Oakland, and when Vogt hit a home run in his last game, it was Ernie Clement who was on the on-deck circle. So, anyhow, so Vogt was talking about Clement, and Dan and Joe went to, Joe or one of them went to talk to Ernie about what Vogt said. And Ernie said one of the things that Vogt told him was, know what you're good at, Like, know what you're really good at. Know what you excel at. Do that. Use that to convince other people that you can play every day and then work on the stuff you're not good at.
Yeah.
In other words, know what you do best. Do it. And this is exactly what Ernie has done. I mean, if you look at Ernie and the way he... I mean, everybody, look, yeah, injuries help. Injuries help. Injuries open the door.
Yeah.
But you go back to last year.
You got
to
run through it.
You go back to last year. Ernie didn't just take advantage of opportunity. Yeah. I mean, he basically carved out, he put himself in a position where we thought going into spring training, I don't care who they trade for, I don't care who they sign, Ernie Clement's on the roster somehow because he can hit a heater.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing...
that he has to play every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he could steal a base, right? The Kirky RBI single with two outs came after the Clement stolen base. The bunt defensive play, come running in, barehanding it, throwing a strike to the first baseman. Like, you know, instead of bases loaded and one out, 9-1 coming up, it's two outs with a nine-hole hitter coming up. That's how you get out of jams. They were up 3-0. The game could have totally went differently right there, right, with just the defensive side of it. I think the way he can move around and he can play short – he's a giant asset. I know the stats, right? I mean, if you look after last night, he's hitting .310. In the last three games, he's 6-for-12. Versus lefties, he's hitting .430, slugging .722. The 20 games in June, he's hitting .380.
Yeah.
I mean, those are things that keep you on a team. Those are things that sort of, when your manager's got all these other things going on, like your pen and your cleanup hitter ain't here and your best hitter ain't doing the things that he's supposed to be doing, I got this dude I'm writing in the lineup. Wherever I put him, he might be the best player that day that I have on the field. So, yeah, I think you got to give him credit and give him tons of it.
Thank you very much. Our technical director, Derek, just jumped in here. Mark Boffer, also our producer. The Jays have DFA'd Spencer Turnbull to make room for Max Scherzer. Obviously, they had a move to get Max on here. That's not a surprise after what we saw the last time.
90 poo, boy.
I was going to say 80 poo.
It's 90 poo.
I was going to say 80 poo.
Oh, we wish him the best. You know, I've been released four times. I got released twice on the last day of spring training.
Also think about.
So I mean, he's sort of at the end of his career.
Well, and think about what he basically didn't have a job this year.
I think he's getting paid, though.
Yeah, but the point is, you know, he's getting paid. But the point is, he worked up to get back into the majors, and it didn't work out. And now he's been DFA'd. Somebody will take a shot at him.
You think so?
Oh, somebody. I mean.
You're nuts.
Yeah. Hey, Noah Syndergaard signed a minor league contract with the White Sox.
I guess.
I'm not saying he's going to pitch in the majors, but somebody will sign him to a minor league deal if he wants.
Yeah, I just don't know where he'd fit. Like, you know, is he a fifth guy on a good team? Probably not. Is he a fourth or third guy on a good team or a young team? Probably not. It doesn't make any sense. No, so he's I just a guy don't know where he'd fit. I mean, is he a long relief guy? And you don't have the stuff to do that. Like, yeah. I don't know where he fits.
There's some real bad teams.
Man, I wish him the best. Because, I've been there and done that before. It's not even fun. When I got released, DFA's a little different being released. When I got released, I wasn't getting paid. Yeah. You know, I had release papers flipped at me, and I was thinking about how I can flip this table over on this guy and get away with it.
He was on a major league contract. So he's.
I know. He's getting paid. He's doing moonwalk all the way to the bank. But
man, I don't know. I don't know if he'd necessarily be.
Well, I mean, it makes it a little easier for you to jump and fall on your feet when you're making gobs of money. And what he was making is gobs of money. So, yeah, I mean, if this is the end of it, he's had a decent career.
We've got a really good show today. We've got Jeff Passan joining us. Cade Smith,
nice.
Friend of the show, joining us. Cleveland Indians reliever.
I'd love to face him, too, just see what it looks like. I would. I like to face the elite guys just to see what it looks like. You know, what all the fuss is about. Stand in there against him and see how nasty it is.
It is nasty.
I mean, he's got three pitches coming out of the pen, and all three of them nobody can hit.
Yep.
Crazy.
So we look forward to that. We'll talk to Cade Smith. But we're going to take a break. Oh, and we've got Jays tickets as well, I believe. Do we? Yes, we do. We have Jays tickets to give
away
as
well. Who's coming up next, Jeff?
Oh, I'm just going to say that I'm going to leave you a hint as to who's coming up next. The next person has caught more innings for Kevin Gausman in his major league career than any other catcher, I think. Was that, were we not told that?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it.
You weren't paying attention.
No, I wasn't paying attention. Yeah. You know,
that was
our local khaki that's telling us that.
That was our house khaki telling us that. Anyhow, Caleb Joseph joins us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 990 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker.
Yep. He's Blair, I'm Barker.
Yeah. We're missing somebody.
There he is. Big Leaguer.
Big Leaguer. Yeah,
hey,
there he is.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting stuff on his face.
Caleb Joseph coming in the room. Oh, he does.
He does look nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Fresh off the golf course.
Well, you don't have to throw it in the floor. You can hang it on the back of the seat, bud. Yeah, we're on. We're waiting on you. You're late.
Yeah, we do this every day, you know, 4 to 6 Eastern.
There we go. Hey. Had to put my face on, boys.
Oh, you look nice.
So it's Max Scherzer. It's Scherzer Day. Max Scherzer making his start. And, I mean, this is probably the biggest thing since man walked on the moon.
Yeah, it's like the eagle has landed.
Pretty much,
that's
exactly.
That's exactly what the Blue Jays needed.
It really is. By the way, I want half of the money you got for that drop.
You got it.
All right.
The big eagle. Not the little birdie, the big eagle.
Yes. We had Alex Avila on, I want to say it was just in spring training. And he was talking. He caught Max a lot. And he was the guy that went out to the mound and broke up the pressure by asking Max to make a fantasy football league trade one game. But
imagine Kirky did that.
We asked him about what tells you that Max is on. And he said, for him, watch how many called strikes he gets early in a game.
Sure.
Called strikes. You know, not swing and miss. Watch how many called strikes he gets early in the game. Can you maybe just, I know you didn't say that, but can you expand on why that would be a factor? You know, and he was specific, called strikes, not swinging strikes. He said, watch how many called strikes he gets.
Yeah, ability to make pitches look really good in a way that hitters don't want to swing, and especially early on in the count, whether it's a backdoor fastball that tails back and nicks the backside part of the plate, or a breaking ball that just looks down to a hitter. A lot of hitters are going to look for something really meaty early on in the count. And when he's picking edges and corners, disciplined hitters are not going to want to make a pass at that. Now, maybe that was 7-8 years ago when there were a ton of very disciplined veteran hitters in the league.
Yeah.
And now it seems to me like a lot of players now are more willing to ambush early. So you might not see that because they might just want to take a pass at even a borderline strike because he is Max Scherzer. But if he is able to make really good pitches, quality around the edges of the zone, that's when you typically get those takes early in counts.
Okay, game planning. You're sitting in a room with Max. You look at the lineup for the Guardians. Jose Ramirez is hitting second or third, yeah? Third. We'll say third. They always say, don't let this guy beat you. How would you do that? Guy coming off the IL, guys later in his career, Jose Ramirez has been on a heater.
Yep.
How do you do that?
Keep it away from Jose Ramirez. Make him hit the ball to left field. He's going to be a left-handed hitter. All of the power for Ramirez is to the pull side. So that means if you want to throw fastballs away, that's fine. I'll take a single to left field, much like I would take a single to right field from Guerrero Jr. I'll take that all day and move on. But you got to be really careful when it comes to the put-away stuff as it pertains to breaking balls down in the zone to Ramirez. He has a little bit of a honey hole middle down to in that he likes to scoop, where a lot of his power comes from, especially with two strikes. He's really good at scooping that down and in slider from a right-handed hitter to right field. You just got to make sure if you want to throw that, that's fine. There is chase down there, but it's got to be strike to ball bounce. And I'd be really given a good visual, which I think Kirky has really done a great job of in the last week or so, being way more animated behind the plate in what he wants, how he's setting up. He's done a great job.
Kevin, I just want to jump in, by the way, because the lineup is out, no surprise, but I just wanted, it's Bichette, Barger, Guerrero, Kirk, Springer, Lucas, Clement, Roden, Jimenez, and Scherzer. So I just wanted to.
There you go. Jimmy Garcia comes back Monday. What do you do with Chad Green? Let me further the question a little. Can you fix Chad Green? What you've seen up until this point, is it fixable?
You know, what I've seen when he's made a couple really quality pitches at the top of the zone with the fastball and it's been reversed with authority forward and hit hard. I think of the Arenado at bat in St. Louis, and that ball was way above the zone. And that typically plays for Chad. His 95 and above plays for Chad up at the top. And when you're not inducing weak contact and not inducing a lot of whiff, that's a bit of a scary sign. And when you start talking about maybe introducing a third pitch, that's never a great sign for a reliever at his age. That tells me that maybe he's not confident in his fastball or his slider. And you just cannot give up home runs out of the bullpen. I think he has given up 10 now. And, I think that's an astronomical number. And
how many innings? 10 and 33 innings.
And it's a lot. And you're talking about reversing games very, very quickly. The slider just doesn't look like it has the same type of bite. The fastball doesn't look like it has the same type of zip. I face Chad Green. He is a very difficult at bat. I think now, more than ever, hitters are able to get to him. And I'm not 100% sure what to do, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Oh, okay. Well, can I hog him just a little? Is that okay, Jeff?
What?
Before you jump in, can I ask another question?
Yeah, I'll go out.
Well, no, I got one more, and then you can have it. Jeff Hoffman. Let's say you're catching. He comes running out of the pen because he's had trouble with the first batter. Either routine, he's too amped up, whatever. Mentally thinking about something. Whatever the case is, it's that first batter. Mm-hmm. First pitch, he throws his arm side miss. It's non-competitive. What do you do?
Run right out there, right out the gate and say, hey, we have to get you on top of the baseball. I need you to throw me a four-seam outside. I don't care if it's the wrong pitch. I don't care if it's left-handed batter. We're going glove side here, because if you don't get this ball and you don't get over the baseball and get your arm up to its highest position and get his hand in the right spot, you're going to see a lot of breaking balls like you did against the White Sox. You're going to see arm side miss with the fastball. The splitter's going to have east-to-west movement. No good. He's got to get his arm in the right spot, and he's got to get his hand over the baseball. What I've seen is his arm is starting to drop. The reason for that is one of a few things. It could be fatigue, it could be something's barking, or it could be just a lack of mechanical consistency. Honestly, the fix for me with him right now is he's having a hard time getting all the way over the baseball. He's on the third base side of the rubber. He's a tall guy. He does have a little bit of crossfire. I would try and move him a little bit closer to the middle to allow him to get over the baseball. I think that's the number one thing I want to see, because if you look at his usage, he hasn't really been used that much in the last week or so.
Nope.
And that's what's a little bit scary. So you talk about fatigue. Check out. I have no idea if he's barking or not. I want to lean towards mechanical adjustments. The best way to get him on top of the baseball and over it is to get him a little bit closer to center so he's not as crossfire.
Okay, I want to be that guy. Move him to the eighth inning. That help?
Is Jimmy Garcia, is he back and he's 100%?
If he's back, he's 100%.
Yeah, you know what? I think you got to let Jimmy have a couple outings in the big leagues first to really see what you got. It's going to send a bit of a message through a clubhouse when you make that type of decision. He has been pretty good for a while. If you look at the totality, it's been okay.
Yeah.
And we've just had volatility in the closer role in this market for a while. And I think as it pertains to blowing saves, nobody thinks about it when a starter gives up two or three runs in one inning, but it's still magnified as a closer. It will send a bit of a message, but honestly, like, you can tell his confidence is a little bit fragile. He was bouncing off the mound. He had a totally different look early in the season when he was dominating guys.
Swag.
He absolutely had it. And I just want to know if it's mechanical or if something's barking. And for me, the mechanical adjustment is to try and get him closer to the center so he can get over it. Once I see he's over it, and if it's not working then you might have to go to that number two.
Petey's a smart man. You would think if you see the arm angle, sorry, Jeff, I'm hogging him, the arm angle, you would think he would say, get it higher, get it up there, finish it.
I see inconsistent shape. And whenever you see inconsistent shapes on pitches, that tells me a number of different things. And then you start going down the checklist of what it could be. The number one fix for me is to get him back to the middle. But again, if something's barking, and I talked to a couple pitchers about this yesterday, actually, that have had some issues in the past with inconsistent shapes. And they said, if there's something barking in the back, it hurts to get all the way on top and over the slider, especially. And if you look at his slider, when it's been like 86 or below, it's getting hammered. The shape is big. It's slurvy. It's a little soggy. When he's able to get up and over it, it's 88, 89, 90, and it is absolutely unhittable. So that's why I want to check off the mechanical part of it. and then see where we're at.
Splitter's running too, right?
No good. It's a dead fish two-seam fastball, which any average major league hitter is going to get to on the barrel.
Man. And you know, not to be that guy, but I am going to be that guy. Keep in mind that two organizations had concerns about his medical records in the offseason. You know,
I mean, there is like khakis running all over the place.
That doesn't mean that you know, I'm not necessarily suggesting he needs surgery or anything like that. But again, two teams, two organizations looked at him and said,
yeah,
boy, I hope you're wrong, because it is a team game. You're trying to win. If you know, if you think he's not healthy,
right,
Rodriguez should be in the ninth inning
for sure. And I will say, sometimes when you are fatigued, your mechanics start to get out of whack, and then you go 4 and 5 appearances in a row fatigued and out of whack. It's hard to come back, especially as a reliever, because you're only getting an inning every so often. I remember feeling fatigued as a hitter and feeling like I go up there. I'm sure you felt it too. Like, you start swinging weird, and you're like, I don't swing like that. Why am I doing this? And then you finally start to feel good again, but you got to kind of work those kinks out, because – even in a sport that's so repetitive, you can find yourself in bad habits. And it's like, how did this happen over a span of 2 weeks? Like, how did I just start swinging it this way? And then you're thinking, well, my legs were soggy because I caught in 105-degree weather, or I was pitched 4 out of 5 days twice, or I was heavily used early in the season. And now it's like, I just don't even know how to get back to my arm being up top. So it could be some of these different factors collectively.
It is amazing when you don't field your position, how the conversation sort of turns, right? He fields his position, flips it to first. Right. Nobody cares about it. His arm angle or what the split ain't doing. So, yeah, it's kind of funny. Okay. Sorry, Jeff.
No, I was enjoying it.
Yeah. I was on a roll there. I wanted to touch on something.
What do you do with Andrés Giménez?
Ooh.
Okay, so if I'm David Popkins, I'm going up to him and asking him, who are you? Who are you, or who do you want to be? And let's go perfect that. Are you going to try and be a damage guy? Are you going to be a contact guy? Are you going to just hammer right-handed pitching? His left-handed splits are not that bad. He's getting crushed right-handed, to be honest with you. Or are you going to use your speed and be a Stephen Kwan, maybe, the ability to shorten up? I have no idea. I think he's got to answer that question. Like, who is he? Who really are you? Are you wanting to get back to the guy that you were in Cleveland that very successful year? If so, you're going to have to take a lot more shots and be okay with whiffing. I think there's some room for error on the ground. I think he can bunt, and I think he should start to open up his game that way in terms of being able to lay bunts down. I think producer Chris Black told me that bunts in terms of for a hit has never been more successful in the last, I don't know, however many years, but guys that are trying to bunt for a hit are way more successful now than they have been in the past. And I think if you look at a major league game and you watch like you guys do, these infielders, they're borderline in the outfield. They're way back there.
Yes.
You start drawing some infielders in, maybe some stuff starts to open up for you. But like, he's got to answer the question, who is he? Are you a hard contact guy? Are you just a contact guy? Are you a damage guy? I don't know if he knows exactly who or what he wants to be.
I think one of the things, you know, when you talk about the bunt, the fact that positioning is so, you know, I'm not going to bring in khakis here, but positioning is such a big deal right now. Really, one of the few ways you can screw up a team's defense is by bunting. I mean, I'm not saying everybody bunts, but to your point, if I'm hitting eighth or ninth and they're playing me, maybe I drop a bunt. So the next time they have to at least think about it. Like, the idea is for me, he has to get on base somehow for me.
Exactly.
He's got to get on base.
Especially if he's hitting 8 or 9.
Yes.
That's the whole point. The point of having Bichette at the top instead of 4 is to drive in 7, 8, 9, which they've done a pretty good job at this entire season.
I like him in second or third with Bo coming up, basically.
Right? And you got to find a way. To me, I see him more as a get-on-base guy. And so what does that mean? It's find a way to handle the bat. I don't care if you got to choke up 2 inches and play pepper, I guess.
Yeah.
But sometimes people see that as, okay, well, is he going to then limit his potential to get his A-swing off? We talk about the A-swing.
Mm-hmm.
What is his A-swing? Make him answer that if I'm the coach. What's your A-swing and what are you doing? And then how do we repeat that? Because I just don't see him on time enough to hit mistakes, to do damage, to be a damaged guy. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yes. 100%.
You led me into this question very well. How do we see more of Vladdy's A-swing on velocity in?
Be ready. Be ready to hit. I am firmly...
You know, I will say, you know, he's about 300 at-bats deep. End of the season.
No, this is a subconscious decision when you walk to the plate that no matter what that pitcher throws, you are going to be on time out in front to the pull side to hit the baseball. You can make a living staying inside the baseball and hitting a lot of hard line drives somewhere. That's fine. He is a good hitter that way. It doesn't mean I want him to go for it every single time, but when you start to see patterns in how you are pitched a certain way, especially against really, really good teams, and especially when it's money-making time, which is runners on base late in the game's tight, what are they throwing him? It's very simple. You have a very good catcher back there, Austin Hedges. Austin Hedges is flipping him breaking balls with nobody on, letting him take his single. There's a chess game going out there. And I guarantee you, if or when Vladdy gets up there and Hedges is back there, he's saving velocity close to him for when it matters.
Yeah.
So he's good enough. I promise you, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is good enough to walk up to the plate and take 101 on the inside part of the plate and hit it to left field if he chooses to be ready and be on time. What does that look like? A very slow, early gather. His body's going to move in a way that tells you what he's looking for. It always has. I got paid to read hitters and their motions. Bo, not the same. Bo's just going to load up. He's just that good. He's able to coil. He's got the leg kick. He's got the hover, so to speak. Not going to be that same. Same way. Vladdy can do it. My question to you, if you put a pitching machine on the mound, you put it at 95 miles per hour or 100, so to speak, and put it on the inside part of the plate during batting practice, what's every ball going to look like for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? It's going to be in the left field stands, hit clanking off of the third deck at Rogers Center. Why? Because he knows there's no other pitch coming. He's going to be on time. He's going to be ready. It's all mental for me. I don't see, there's nothing wrong with his mechanics. For me, it's all mental and what he wants to go up there and hit.
It's just funny. It's been 300 at-bats. Nobody's told him the same thing you just told us. And whoever wants to listen.
Maybe the guy's stubborn, man. Talked about this, maybe stubborn.
Yeah, well, it's hard to get a Bo Bichette to pull the baseball because he's so successful going to the opposite field, and he's very comfortable. Yeah. And that's his, you know, it's like I like hitting fades, but when the shot calls for a draw, it's, even though it's very uncomfortable, like I have to like try and draw it. Well, right. Vladdy's A swing is not close to him out in front on velocity. His A swing to me is medium speed in the zone right up the middle, and I know that going into it. So where am I going to attack you when it's money-making time?
Yeah.
In a place you're uncomfortable. You know, Ramirez is the opposite. Jose Ramirez, he starts off wound up. Like, you throw it inside with velocity close
to
him. Yeah. But that's his mold. It doesn't mean one's right or wrong. It's just you to be a great hitter. Not a good hitter, a great hitter. Victor Martinez, he did it to me so many times. He would bait me into this and be on time and ready to do it. And so, please, Victor, tell Vladdy to get that head out a couple times, scare a guy out of the inside part of the plate, and then sit on that backside and ride it and back leg city that guy with the breaking ball.
I want to shift focus a little bit to Kevin Gausman. He will start tomorrow. I don't think there'll be too many players in the Blue Jays happier to see June in the rearview mirror than Kevin. You know, watching his last start, Kevin, you talked about this. There's just too much run in his ball, too much east-west, not enough north-south. One, how do you correct that? And two, he's thrown a lot of pitches over his career. He's thrown a lot of innings. I think Chris Black, speaking of Chris Black, mentioned you. I think you've caught more innings with Kevin Gausman than anybody in the majors.
Remarkably. Still.
So what do you see the next step for Kevin Gausman? He said 12 walks in June. He had one walk in May. What do you see for the next step for him?
Yeah, for me, a lot of it is just the inconsistency of a couple things, his windup and primarily his ability to get the ball in the right window with his placement. Anytime you see that run, and sometimes he makes it run on purpose, I'm aware of that, but I just really like the floater. It looks like it floats and then just drops right out of midair, almost like a knuckleball that just loses steam. His windup is such that it was different when I caught him, but I've watched a lot of video on Gausman now, and his left leg, that he raises up to kick into his delivery, it has a tendency to move more towards the catcher versus loading the hip and moving back behind his center of gravity. Does that make sense? So when he, for those watching, you can see his leg will move like this and come down versus kind of getting back and then flowing into the windup. When he picks it up and is more of a fall, then the arm's trying to play catch up, then mechanically you're a little bit out of sync. Every time I watch his windup and it does not get him into his lower half, that's when you see the run. That's when you see the tail. And so I'm of the old school. I believe that there are certain pitchers that have to throw certain pitches to certain locations, and once they get that, then their other pitches will follow. I just believe that, especially with starters, because they got to dominate both sides of the plate. For me, I can tell you right away if Kevin Gausman's going to have a good outing or not. And it's so simple. It is when he goes to the glove side, is the ball straight, looking like it got shot out of a cannon, or can you see the movement? When he is absolutely on it, he lets it go, and it's as if somebody shot a BB gun at it and just went right into Kirk's mitt. If you can see any sort of movement, he's not in the right spot, whether it be the load, whether it be his arm playing catch up, whether it be on the side of the ball, whether there's many different factors. How do you do it? I would get stubborn and say, we're throwing it out there until you got it, because he likes to throw heaters.
Yeah.
And most, you know, especially if it's a right-handed batter, keep away. How many guys are going to pump you oppo right out the gate? Maybe not that many, but that's what I would do. I would just force the issue until you get it straight, and then they're all going to be there.
Okay, real quick, last one. We'll let you go here. What should I be paying attention more of tonight with Max? Velocity early in the game or using all five pitches? Which one is more important?
I mean, for me, honestly, the one that I'm looking for is shape of slider and effectiveness of slider. I faced him, that was the number one calling card. I know he throws the changeups really good.
Now, he may have lefties
really
in there, so you may not use the slider as much.
Yeah, it's just the shape. Like, just because when I know he's on, there's a certain look. Even if he only throws it 10 times, I just want to see the shape of it, you know, especially to a lefty, because then he's got to really do the right thing. If he starts getting on the side, if he has that downward action, super late breaker, I know he's really in a good spot. The changeup is going to be a huge pitch for him, too, and that's been a really sneaky good pitch for him. A lot of people talk about the fastball slider, but the changeup, especially right on right, he loves doing right on right changeups to certain guys that are vulnerable. And if you want to see him get fired up, watch him throw a right on right changeup. It'd be successful. That might be the one time you see the most emotion out of him.
Jose Max is going to be must watch, I think, early anyway.
I love it.
Me too. I can't wait.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
That's great. Great stuff, Caleb. Thanks for hopefully you saved some stuff for Blue Jay Central, I hope.
Wow.
Did you save a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're talking to Ernie. Okay. We didn't ask you about Ernie. So you got all kinds of Ernie stuff.
I mean, I
mean, what else can you say?
He's a good teammate.
I am a good teammate.
You know, he's saving pitches. He's helping me save pitches.
He earned your money too. I mean, that's one stop shopping.
Caleb, thanks a lot for doing this. Caleb Joseph, Blue Jay Central analyst. And, boy, you're going to be on air in, I mean, what, an hour? A little more than an hour. You're powdered and you're all set to go, though, so don't have any worry about it. Thanks for doing that, Caleb. Appreciate it. We are going to give away tickets to see the Jays and the Yankees on July 2nd. Jeff Passan joins us as well. And, it appears as if Cade Smith has had to cancel on us today, which is, I mean, knowing Cade Smith, I'm not too
working out
about
bro.
That. What?
It's working out, bro.
Knowing Cade Smith, I'm sure he is. Mm-hmm. He is working out on us.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to play John Schneider's pregame availability and talk a little more about Max Scherzer. It is Scherzer. It's a big story. A lot riding in the start for the Blue Jays. I think more riding in the start, frankly, than the outcome of the series, but that's just me. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.